The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Going to get ugly in here today. Put the flak jacket back on. The title of today's message is Don't Shoot the Messenger. And I mean that with all my heart. And here's the thing. I didn't write this. God did. And so all I'm here to do is tell you that this is what God says makes relationships work. And so really, if you wanted to subtitle today's message, it could be Relationships That Work. We're going to talk about some things, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to just kind of suspend any kind of knee-jerk reaction you have to the wording. Because we've messed up some of these words. And that's the problem. Okay, we're going to talk about some stuff. In fact, let's look at it. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Okay, nobody's left yet, so we're okay. Submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. So basically now we've hit everybody in the room. Because everybody's either a parent, a child, a husband or a wife. Some of us are all of these. Fathers do not... Well, you're not all of these because you can't be a husband and a wife. But you get the idea. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Important point. Those who do wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. And then I tacked on chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. We're going to talk about how to make our relationships work, and there is a lot of stuff here. But it all flows together. Let's pray. God, speak to our hearts. Because right now, Father, everybody in this room fits one of these categories, and most of us multiple ones. Father, open our hearts to hear from you today, God, because I really believe that happier homes and lives and work relationships and things are right here, God, if we'll just put these into practice. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. They were having a wedding rehearsal, and the bride was really nervous, and she's talking to her pastor, and her pastor said, look, that's the same aisle you've walked down thousands of times. Don't worry about it. So as you're going down, just concentrate on the aisle. Look, it's the same aisle. It's not a big deal. And then as you get closer, you'll see the altar. So just concentrate on the altar. Then as you get to the altar, you'll see your husband-to-be, Jim. So just concentrate on that. And it seemed to settle her down. You know, it was kind of disconcerting for the people in the sanctuary, though, the next day. They were sitting on the aisle. Because as she was walking down the aisle, she kept saying, aisle, altar, Jim. Aisle, altar, Jim. Aisle, altar, Jim. I don't know how that worked out for her, but I'm guessing probably not too well. Three things about relationships that we need to kind of lay the tone for. The first thing about relationships is that relationships are to be routine. Relationships should not be stressful. They should be routine. Okay, and everybody here went, you're stupid. Here's the thing, though. If we apply our faith to our day-to-day life, if we apply our faith to relationships, especially the ones that are closest to us, we'll find out that on a day-to-day basis, our faith changes the relationships we have with people. It makes them better. Now, not everybody's going to buy into that. Not everybody that you deal with is going to like your new relationships. Not everybody, some of them are going to challenge your faith. Some of them are going to challenge that relationship. That's okay. You just have to do what you've been called to do, and it should be part of your everyday life. It can't be you're going to do it today and then tomorrow, well, I don't feel like doing it today. You've got to work at this. You've got to let this happen every single day. That's why it's got to be routine. I have a preset routine in the morning. The reason I don't like being on call for the sheriff's office is because sometimes I get calls like at 6:30 in the morning. Rhonda calls, and it would be different if when Rhonda called me, she didn't have such glee in her voice. But they'll call me in the morning, and it'll upset my routine. You know, and man, I'm such a creature of habit. I got to do this, and it's got to be in this way, and you know, and I shave, and then and brush my teeth. All in this little routine. If it gets upset, I'm like all freaked out about it. And the only reason I have that routine is because that's kind of the way I've done it for ever and ever and ever. Well, your relationship should be like this. The stuff that we're going to talk about today should be a daily part, a routine of your relationship. Next part you need to know is relationships have different roles. I thought about you, Victor, today while I'm swatting flies. There's a story of a preacher, who had a scripture verse for everything. And one day while he's preaching, a fly flew in his mouth. And everybody was waiting for him to see, oh, what kind of scripture you got for that? And he said, yea, though he was a stranger, yet I took him in. So if you hear me choke in the middle, I'm just taking in a stranger as we're going. Look, today we're talking about roles, not rulers. Understand that. And that's where we've messed this up. That's why wives have that reaction to submission. Because men have messed up submission. I'll take the hit for that. And I'll never forget Dr. Leonard from Southern California College, well, Vanguard University, speaking to a group of us pastors. And she did a book that's been recently published on women in prison who killed their abusers. Not exactly light reading, I'm guessing. And she said openly and honestly, she said, every time you preach wives submit to your husbands, without following it up with husbands love your wives the way Christ loved the church, you foster abuse in your church. It is a sad statistical fact that the number of men who abuse their wives in church and out of church is virtually the same. Brothers, that should not be. I will tell you right now, gentlemen, that should not be. And if you ever raise your hand to woman, you're wrong. And I'm as serious as I can be. Ladies, you ever raise your hand to your husband? It's wrong. It should go without saying that children should be raising their hands to their moms and their dads, but I see it all the time. We're going to talk about that too. Everyone in the family relationship is of equal rank, believe it or not. See, here's the thing. I have a different role than my wife, but we're equal in this. We're in this together. And that's the important thing you need to remember. Relationships have different roles, but we're all in this together. We're all to serve one another. And then finally, relationships are supposed to be reciprocal. You reciprocate. Okay? The idea being that I do things for you. I try to be the best husband I can be. And my wife tries to be the best wife she can be. Our kids try to be the best kids they can be. And together, our lives become good. It's stressful when one or the other doesn't want to play their part, but that doesn't absolve you of your responsibility. The golden rule that we all learned in Sunday school, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. What does that start with? Do unto others. See, I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated long before I expect you to treat me the way I want to be treated. Make sense? It all starts with us, guys. And if you're the Christian in a mixed marriage today, you got one Christian, not one non-Christian, if that's your home today, look, it's up to you to be the Christian. And that's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's also the only thing you can do. Before God, it's what you have to do. All right, so here we go. Let's get into it. Being married God's way. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Man, that was a perfect example, perfect time for you to say amen, and you missed it. Because you're all a bunch of chickens, bunch of mamby-pamby. What does it mean to submit? Submission does not mean obey. Children are to obey. You see the word obey here? Submission kind of brings along with it the idea of a soldier being under the authority of a commanding officer. Is that any easier, ladies? Not really. Right? And I hear ladies all the time, I'm not going to submit. I refuse to submit. Okay. Don't expect your home to be happy anytime soon, but hey, it's your house. Do what you want. Here's the thing, ladies. This is God's way. Submission in the Bible doesn't mean slavery and doesn't imply inferiority. Submit literally means to arrange oneself under a delegated authority. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands for the sake of living productive, harmonious, and successful lives. Why should you be submissive? It's there in the end. It's fitting in the Lord. The Lord said that wives, you got a lot of power in the relationship. Women have a lot of power in the relationship. And anybody who doesn't believe that doesn't know what relationships are all about. I may be the head of my household, but my wife's the neck that turns the head. Okay? And guys, you all thought it. I was just the only one that had to get up here and say it. I don't make decisions without talking to my wife. First of all, I found out she's pretty smart. Which really makes you wonder how she ended up with me. And she said that one time. She said, well, everybody makes mistakes once. Harsh. Harsh. It's fitting in the Lord. This is what the Lord had planned for you, another version says. Ladies, instead of being upset about submission, how about embracing it? How about realizing that there is great power in submission? Now, we're going to get to the guys in a minute, ladies, so don't let me lose you now. Okay? There's great power in submission because you have the power to rebel and you choose not to. You have the power to choose to do something else, and instead, you choose to be the person God wanted you to be.
During the feminists all went nuts over it. Gloria Steinem, remember Gloria Steinem, the one who said a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle? Evidently, fish are riding bikes because Gloria Steinem got married. So, see, if we get caught up in the verbiage, we forget the fact that there are blessings that come with obedience to God's word. So ladies, submit to your husbands because it's fitting before the Lord. That's what God had planned for you, and God's blessings come as a result of that. Now, ladies, you ready for me to get on to something else? Because I'm about to hit the guys, and it's a lot harder. Husbands, sacrifice for your wife. Okay, now, I'm using the term husbands, but I would also put this on dating relationships, guys. Husbands, sacrifice for your wife. And that brings us to that one part. Husbands, love your wives. But why do I use the word sacrifice? Why do I say, well, husband, sacrifice for your wife when the word says love? Because the word here is agape. Three words for love used in the New Testament. Eros, which is sexual love. And all the men said amen. Philia, which is a friendship love, which is odd. The city of Philadelphia, the meanest place in the United States, Howard Cosell said they boo Easter egg hunts in Philadelphia, and it's the city of brotherly love. But this word is agape. Husbands, love your wives. Agape, love your wives. Not husbands, you know, get warm for your wife's form. Although that's not forbidden. That's okay. Read the Song of Solomon. It's all right. Not husbands, be a friend to your wife. Although that's a good idea too. This commandment is husbands, sacrificially love your wives. Husbands, have the same love for your wife that Christ had when he died on the cross for us. Wow, it kind of makes submission sound a lot easier, doesn't it? Husbands, sacrificially love for your wife. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. How many ladies can say, my husband suffers long and he's kind? My husband does not envy. My husband does not parade himself. He's not puffed up. My husband does not behave rudely. He does not seek his own. He's not provoked. He thinks no evil. Hey guys, that's what we're to be. You thought your wife had it tough to submit? Dude, you're in way over your head here. We're told to love our wives. Galatians 5, which is the follow-up, kind of another rewording the same things. Husband, love your wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. More often than not, when I see a wife that refuses to submit, it's because I see a husband who doesn't love his wife with an agape love. Doesn't excuse it. I tell you though, ladies, I have yet to see, maybe once or twice, cases where there's so much water under the bridge that the wife just couldn't forgive. But I have seen homes where a husband loved his wife the way Christ loved the church, and you very rarely see wives unable to submit in those circumstances. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Husbands, you expect your wives to be godly wives? Then you have to start it by being a godly husband. I'm going to put the flak jacket back on. Feeling real uncomfortable here right now. Husband took his wife for counseling. She was hurt and upset. When she began to talk to the counselor, she broke down and started crying. The sensitive counselor realized that, you know, she just needed some comfort. So he went and sat down on the couch next to her, put his arm around her, and he held her while she cried. And he looked up at the husband and he said, that's all she needs. Husband said, great, I'll bring her every Tuesday and Thursday. We're not always real good at that. But guys, that's what we have to be. When our wives are hurting, we have to be that sensitive, comforting guy because that's what Christ did for us. We have to be sacrificially loving of our wives. That means when we're watching TV, we don't say, shh, we'll talk later, the game's on. And muting the game is not the same thing as turning the television off either, guys. Ladies, on the other hand, the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl is not a good time to talk about your feelings. Remember what I talk about being reciprocal? There's a time and a place. Look, it's as we work this stuff out that we become the family we're supposed to be. But guys, it means sacrificial loving. That means that if I get home and I'm tired, and I just want to sit down and veg for a while, but my wife's had a rough day and she desperately needs to talk to somebody, I put her needs ahead of mine. Is that easy? No. Because most guys would rather gargle razor blades than sit and just listen. Yeah, it took me a long time to figure out that my wife didn't want me to actually give her answers. She just wanted me to listen to her. Okay, and I will tell you, we've been married 27 years. It still makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I love her dearly. She's my best friend in the whole world. There's honestly nobody on this planet I'd rather hang out with than my wife. We decided we're boring because all we do is hang out together. We don't go out to dinner with other people or anything. We just like being together. I guess we're cool with that. But she doesn't want me to give her suggestions about how to fix things. And guys are fixers. I fix things. That's what I do. It's broken. I'll fix it. She doesn't want me to fix it. She just wanted me to share and listen to her problems and let her just unburden herself to me. It makes no sense. Because let me tell you something. If I ask you to come over and I say, hey, I've got a problem with my carburetor, I'm not just telling you so that you'll, oh, that's too bad, Jerry. Tell me all about your carburetor problems. Because I want to be here for you. No, get a screwdriver. Help me fix the stupid carburetor. I'm over my head here. By the way, carburetor is French for leave it the heck alone. I don't know if you know that. Anyway, car guys will get that. Husbands, starts with us. There's a reason why you're the leader in your home. In fact, one of the words for husband is the one who holds the house together. Unfortunately, we see an awful lot of husbands today who don't hold the house together, who abandon it. And I'll be honest with you guys, if you got to do everything in your power to keep your home together. You've got to, guys. It's on you. All right, let's go on. Let's talk about parenting. All the kids now, by the end of this, we hate you, Godsey. Parenting God's way, verse 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything. Not most things, not some things. Everything. For this pleases the Lord. And your parents, come to think of it. Fathers, do not embitter your children. All the kids said, amen. Or they will become discouraged. Children, obey your parents. Really, not an option here, is there? Any wiggle room in that statement right there? Come on, teenagers, look at me. Come on, don't. See, you were happy when I was railing on the mom and the dad. You didn't know this was coming, did you? Children, obey your parents in everything. But they're so stupid. My parents are the dumbest people on the earth. And one day your kids will say, she's so stupid. She doesn't know anything. She was born a nerd. I got news for you kids. Your parents weren't born nerds. They turned that way because they had you. It's a cause and effect thing happening. I used to be cool. I used to have hair. Look at me now. It's sad. When should children obey their parents? In everything. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. Teenagers, did you ever stop to think that every time you disobey your parents, that you sin? Not just that you make mom mad, you sin. You know, sin like the stuff that takes you to hell, that kind of sin? Wow. I'll be expecting money from all the parents later. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 3 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3 says, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. That's actually back from the fifth of the Ten Commandments, by the way. So that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. And I think what he's saying here is, children, obey your parents so they don't kill you. That's the way I read it, anyway. That it may go well with you. Hey, kids, it doesn't matter whether you like your parents or not. And let me tell you something, I've got kids. I'm about to have a grandkid. I've made some decisions my sons didn't like. Oh well, life is hard, then you die. I've made some decisions that they wish I had made other ways. And you know what? And as a parent, I made mistakes. And parents, the nicest thing you can do is tell your kids, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. Well, no, but I'll lose my strength. If you lose your strength because you say you're sorry, you never had any strength to begin with, parents. Hello? You guys got to say amen or ouch or something here. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Part of the problems that parents, that kids have with their parents is the fact that kids think their parents are stupid. They really do. Parents, I don't know if you're aware of that, but every time you talk to your teenager, all they hear is like the Charlie Brown teacher. And teenagers, every time your parent looks at you, all they see is this vast wasteland, this body and a face with no brain attached. That's what we see, because that's usually what it's like. We're like, get that blank stare, you know, the mouth breathers. Teenagers, you have to obey your parents so that it will go well for you, so that your life may be long. And let me tell you something. Being disrespectful, it amazes me when I hear a teenager be disrespectful to their parents. First of all, it amazes me that you would even think of doing that. I told my mom to shut up once. And my mom is 5'2". I think I've told you this story. She looks like a Weeble. Remember Weebles? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. My mom is a human Weeble. She really, and she, I've said that in front of her, and she just looks at me like, I'm going to hurt you. I told her to shut up once, and I towered above her. She was 5'2", actually 5'2½", and don't forget the half, because she gets offended. And this little, and I said, yeah, I was by then almost 6 foot. I said, shut up. She hit me. I don't know if you were there. Took her fist and hit me in the stomach. And when I bent over, because it hurt, she took both her hands and hit me in the back of the head and knocked me to the ground. She put her foot on my chest and she said, I may not be able to spank you, but I'll kill you if you ever talk to me that way again. I had no doubt in my mind she would do it. Yes, ma'am. We lived in a mobile home, which is a nice way of saying trailer. And I was going to meet my friends, and I was headed out the door. And, you know, she's little. She's got little legs. And she's in the kitchen. She didn't look that fast. And on the way out, I said something to her. It wasn't shut up. I learned my lesson. I said something to her. And before I got to the door, she kicked me down the stairs. I don't know how she got her leg that high. But maybe she did a little ninja kick thing. I don't know. Maybe a little trampoline there or something. I rolled down the stairs. And I'm not going to tell my buddies, hey, what happened? I fell down the stairs. I'm not going to say my mom kicked my butt and I fell down the stairs. I fell down the stairs. So I read this that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. I know what they're talking about. I also know that live a long life, enjoy a long life on the earth. If you're having a constant hassle in your life, you're not enjoying life. If you're constantly on restriction because you're too stupid to know how to shut up and say yes, mom, oh well. Parents, encourage your children. Verse 21, fathers, do not embitter your children, they will become discouraged. Parents, I'm going to give you four ways to mess up your kids. Okay? Four ways. First of all, ignore them. Ignore your kids. I can't tell you how many, I've coached Little League and stuff most of my adult life, and I can't tell you how sad it is when a game starts and a kid starts scanning the stands looking for mom or dad, and they're not there. They did a study and found that the more often than not, what kids hear their parents say, something like 90% of the time, is go to your room, please be quiet, and we don't have the money for that. If that's what masquerades, parents, as you interacting with your child, it's not a question of if they rebel, it's a question of when. Parents, I will tell you this, that rules without relationships lead to rebellion. One more time. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. When my son started driving, we sat out rules that had consequences. You break the rule, here's your consequence. It was agreed upon ahead of time. There wasn't any fighting. There wasn't any knee-jerk reaction from Dad. It was just, hey, you do this, this happens, sucks to be you, let's move on. But you've got to have that relationship with them, parents. You can't just all of a sudden, now you're going to be the authoritarian. You've ignored them till they're 13. Now because they're punking off, they're getting in trouble in school, now you're going to be their boss? No. Parents, you've got small children. You need to start disciplining them now. You can't ignore a three-year-old's disrespect. You can't ignore a three-year-old's lack of ability to be a good kid and not have it come back to blow up in your face. With me? No, isn't that cute? How he's so creative. We were watching King of the Hill yesterday. I should have brought that clip. The little kid next door is just making Hank Hill's life miserable. And the parents, instead of doing something about it, the parents are like, oh, isn't he so creative? No, your kid's a terror. He's a prisoner waiting to happen. We call kids like that job security at the sheriff's office. Second thing to do is indulge them. Give them everything they want. Spoil them. That way they can feel like the world owes them something. That way they can be 25, 26 years old and never hold down a job because, the boss was just stupid. Oh, better than that. No, they don't owe you anything. They owe you a paycheck that you're supposed to work for. How about insulting them? Be overly critical of them. Make them grow up feeling like they're worthless. Parents who call their kids stupid and tell them they're never going to amount to much, those usually become self-fulfilling prophecies. Or intimidate them. Make sure that you put in as many threats as you can. Because that's a good way to ruin a kid. Intimidate them. Make them afraid of you. When I was still wearing a uniform at the sheriff's office, which I thankfully don't wear anymore, when I was still wearing a uniform, it always amazed me how parents would tell, if you're not nice, I'll have that police officer arrest you. And I told one lady one time, I said, that's a great idea. Let's make them as afraid of the police as they can. You just snap every now and then. Don't intimidate your kids. Love them. And look, there's ways to make, my kids understood, look, you get out of line, Dad's going to give you the right hand of fellowship. It would be applied quickly, continuously, and pointedly upon your backside. And I would tell them, I love you too much to let you be that kind of kid. You beat your kids? Yes, sir. Not often, just when they needed it. Come to find out it was often. No. How about unfair expectations? Look, if you got a kid who's a C student, and you're punishing him because he's not bringing home A's, that's a problem. You got a kid who's an A student and you're rewarding him for bringing home C's, that's a problem. C's weren't allowed in my house. A C showed up in my house, somebody was getting in trouble because my kids were not C students. I've seen kids who were C students, though. And bless their heart, they were working their hardest. That's what they do. That's what they could do. That's what they could do. Reward that. Challenge him to do better, but reward that. You've got to know your kid. You've got to be able to do all of that. One of the worst things I see is when I passed by the Little League Park yesterday and I saw a little kid whose dad I know. And the kid's a good kid. He really is. But his dad wants him to be this super baseball player. And he's never going to be. He's not talented. Let the kid play baseball and enjoy it. But don't push him that like that because he's not going to be. And it's just going to build up this ugliness between the two of them. We're quickly through this last part, working God's way. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. Those who do wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. There is no favoritism. Masters, provide for your slaves what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. I don't work for the Imperial County Sheriff's Office. Oh, they're my employer. They pay my salary. I work for God. Everything I do in my day-to-day job at the sheriff's office, I do to the absolute best of my abilities because I honestly believe that the kind of work ethic I have is a witness to the people that watch me. You with me? They know I'm a pastor. They know I'm a Christian. And if I'm a bad employee, what kind of reflection is that on God? I don't like everything that's done there. I don't like everything that's said there. I don't like everything that goes on. I do know what God put in me, though. I know who I work for. Kids, you go to school. The way you study, the way you apply yourself to your studies, everything about you is a reflection of Christ. And by a further an extension of us. I told you before, I told a kid in my youth group in El Cajon one time, quit telling people they went to my church. He was so offended. Why? Actually, what I told him was to tell everybody he's a Mormon, because it's not right, but I did. I really did. He said, why? I said, because you're an embarrassment. He was talking back to his teachers. He wouldn't do his work. He was a punk at school. I said, I don't want anybody to think that you're the kind of kid my teaching at Central Assembly turns out. I don't want that. So either get your act together or quit telling people you go to my church. And God's good. He got his act together. Kid got his act together. Turned out to be a good student. And I think at one point they were thinking about a scholarship for him to play football somewhere. It's a long time. I forget the story. Now, which do you think is a better reflection of Christ? The kid who was a punk and didn't do his stuff, talked back to his teachers and acted like a jerk in class, or the kid who applied himself and really made a change in his life? What do you think is a better reflection for Christ? So let me give you some responsibilities for employees. First of all, work submissively. Obey in all things, even when you don't like the tasks. You ever had a job where you had to do stuff you don't like? I do. There's stuff I have to do at work I don't like. Some of it's messy. Some of it's just a pain. Paperwork. Schedules. Every month I have to fill out a schedule. I hate this thing. I print the schedule out 10 times because I can't get it right. It's a stupid Excel spreadsheet. I can't get it right. It drives me crazy. I always make at least one mistake. But I got to do it. So I work submissively. Second way, work sincerely. Verse 22 says, work in sincerity of heart. A missionary was put in charge of a supervising group of natives on a work detail. And he was frustrated because they were lazy and worked only while he was watching them. When he left, they would sit around and not do any work. The missionary had a glass eye, so he decided he would take out his glass eye and he would put it on a pole. And so that glass eye would always watch over the natives while they're working. He told them, I'm going to be watching you. When he came back later, he found a hat covering the eye. That's not working sincerely. And then finally, work spiritually. You got to understand that Jesus is your boss. And you serve him with everything you have. And if you don't, you bring reproach on the kingdom. That means your attitude, means everything about you has got to be glorifying to God. That's tough. Especially if you work in a place where that's the last thing you want to do. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to the life that Christ has set aside for us. Now, the great thing about this is, everything we've talked about today, God will give you the power to do. He's not going to leave you twisting in the wind. He's not going to ask you to do something that he's not going to give you the power to do. What he's not going to give you is the desire. That's up to you. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your grace and your mercy. God, these are tall orders. And on our own, God, in our own flesh, we are just not going to be able to do this stuff. Let's be honest. But God, through you, we can do everything. Through you, all of this comes together. Father, I pray for wives today that they would learn to be submissive. They would find the joy in submission. God, I pray for husbands. They would learn, Father, what it means to sacrificially love. And they would show that sacrificial love to their wives and their children. God, I pray for teenagers and children in this room, God, they would learn to be obedient. that their attitudes would change. Father, they would learn that they need to be a reflection of you to their parents, God, not just the rest of the world. Father, bless us. Keep us. Make us all better employees, God. Make us all great reflections of you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Let's sing one more song.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.